Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Okay, I am genuinely interested in knowing from Sal how your day was. Sal, how was it out there today? I know it was perfect out. Did you enjoy being back there, and did you have some interesting conversations?
I did. I loved it. It was great. It really was. You guys know how much I love just being around football, and it was nice to be back out there. It, maybe because, too, we've had such a long winter, really, that it was just nice to get out there. You know, that when we had been out there before, I know we did the one day was the rookie mini camp outside. It wasn't beautiful weather, but it was nice. But, you know, the other stuff we've done so far has been inside, whether it's, you know, some sort of event, press conference, or the conditioning stuff. Today, outside, absolutely gorgeous weather, and what resembled kind of real football, except actually hitting each other, because there were no restrictions as far as playing, you know, 11-on-11 and defense and offense and that kind of stuff. So that was really cool, and I enjoyed it.
Anything surprising at all about the way the quarterback reps were doled out to you?
Yeah, I was a little surprised when Sean McDermott said to open, you know, the press conference, I should say, before practice, that he said both A.J. McCarron and Nathan Peterman had been taking turns with the first team, and that Josh Allen really had exclusively been working with the third team. I guess I would have expected that Allen would be taking some reps with the second team, but really that's not what he said, and that's not really what we saw today either. Doesn't mean it won't happen soon. Sure, it'll probably happen at some point when we get to training camp, but for right now, he's only working with the third team.
What else did you make of him today in whatever area?
Look, I mean, he just throws the ball with such zip, and when he knows where he's going with it, it comes out quickly. He has a very quick release. Now, obviously, right now, you're going to give maybe you're going to give him, I don't know this, I'm not in the huddle, but you're going to give him some easier reads. Maybe just like, hey, this is where we're going to throw it. So as soon as that back foot hits, boom, it's out. But when he is decisive and knows where he wants to throw it, you can tell, and it's confident, and it's coming out really quickly, and it comes out really hard. You know, maybe the one thing is you have to think going forward here, you know, that touch, we've talked about this, the touch on his football that he throws as he gets older, as he learns, he might have to kind of dial that back a little bit on the fastball to get that touch. So we'll see. But I mean, right now when he throws that ball, he's zipping it in there. That's what I really like about him. I didn't see anything that would cause any concern or jubilation, you know, today, to be honest with you. He did some nice things. He missed some throws. He made some really nice throws. He threw a touchdown to Ray McLeod. It was really nice. I like his interaction with his teammates. I like his interaction with his coaches. I like his energy. I think all of that is really positive in that direction.
How have you found him talking, Sal? Like, do you think – I'm thinking of Brandon Bean on draft night and then again the day after the draft, maybe on with Howard and Jeremy. This guy, he's Buffalo. You're going to see. I remember making note of that. Like, it always sort of – it can rub me the wrong way. I don't love this about myself, but it can rub me the wrong way when someone who's only been here for 10 months tells me how Buffalo somebody is. Because, you know, like, really, do you know? Are you sure? But – just at face value.
It could also, by the way, in that context, if I may interject this, have been in and around a mention of those tweets by Josh Allen. Like, what was it?
I think it was like, you'll see he's
in
a good guy,
of him.
You're going to like him. Yeah, right. He's, yeah. Anyway, how have you found him to be, Sal?
Straight out of the McDermott Bean cliche playbook, if you will, and that doesn't mean he's not genuine. I think he's genuine. He always seems to have a smile on his face, which is really good. He seems very upbeat. So I really like that about him. Energetic, but you know, he doesn't say anything anything that's going to get any headlines. And I'm not, I don't want him to. I don't expect him to, but you get that sometimes. You know, you go back to even when Jalen Ramsey posted that tweet. Jalen Ramsey, a couple weeks ago during rookie minicamp, I don't know if both of you were here for this, there was a video the Bills posted of Josh Allen just kind of throwing the football. Didn't even show where it went, just kind of coming out of his hand. Jalen Ramsey, on his Twitter account, the DB for the Jags, quote tweeted it and said, that's a pick waiting to happen. And I think he was kind of just joking because you couldn't see, it was just a regular throw. It was just like a warm-up toss.
You and I were together that Friday. Mike was off.
This is not what Jamal Adams did?
No, this is separate. Jamal Adams basically said, looking forward to, you know, the best quarterback I played with or more picks or something like that. Jalen Ramsey did this after a rookie minicamp practice in Buffalo. Jamal Adams did that after he was drafted or something.
Yeah.
So anyway, of all websites, of course, TMZ caught up with Josh Allen at LAX, maybe it was, and someone asked him about the Jalen Ramsey tweets. And his response was, well, he's great. He's Jalen Ramsey. He's one of the best DBs in the league. It doesn't bother me whatsoever. He's earned that right to talk like that, I guess, you know? So even something as inflammatory as that could have been, it wasn't. You know, today, all about, hey, even asked, what do you think about, you know, being on the third team? He's like, I'm just watching. I'm watching these guys. They're great at what they do. And, you know, I want to take mental reps. I want to take notes. He said there is a challenge in not getting as many reps. But at the same time, you know, he's taking that as trying to be a positive. So he's, like I said, kind of straight out of the McDermott Bean playbook.
You know, Mike mentioned the tweets. Did that come up? Because this has been his first chance to be around the entire team, right? Like, did anybody ask him if he thought it appropriate to address the team? Because that was something he said he might feel the need to do to make sure address any concerns that players on the team might have about him.
No, and I'm glad you brought it up because maybe next time, maybe not just him, but other players will ask about that. But I know we have not. It's not been... No one that I've seen has asked him about it or where I've been, but that's interesting. And it just seems like he fits in with everybody, so I guess there's maybe no need, but you're right. I mean, maybe we can get clarification on if, you know, going forward, if there was some sort of conversation. That could be a conversation that happens even at training camp when they do all of those bonding things, too, as well.
Right.
You know, maybe not for a time for right now.
If he really doesn't care about criticism, whether it's from other players in the league or anyone else, good for him. I mean, that's just easier living. You had Mayfield who put it in his book and walked around with, you know, this attitude about it. And neither way is necessarily good or bad. But it's the way that agrees with me is, you know, a guy who, you know, as someone that takes criticism, the better you can do to ignore it, the better off you'll be.
Yeah, I agree with that. I got to imagine on some level... You know, Josh Allen, we know he has a chip on his shoulder. Look, I mean, he has pretty much been down the depth chart at every single level of ball he's played in, and he's had to rise up and kind of prove people wrong. He wasn't recruited by anybody, you know, all these kinds of things. So at some level, I think that there's that chip. I just don't think he's going to outwardly talk about it right now. I think it's more internal than anything else.
Yeah, he did. I saw mention of him referring to having been third string when he got to junior college. So that being third string here is no, you know, is no big deal to me.
He said he might have even been fourth when he got there. So, you know, he's been through this drill before, and we'll see. And he knows there's a lot of time that has to take shape. And guys, as I've said before, nothing's going to be determined by any of these 10 OTA sessions. Everything's different once the pads come on. Guys are way different. Lots of football players are different once pads come on. So we'll see what happens once they get to training camp and all that stuff starts happening.
Feel free to limit your answer to this next question to one word, if you so choose. Anything to Peterman being first team?
No.
Sighing isn't a word, Sal.
I know, you said feel free. I think that's the – no is the answer, right,
okay,
Mike?
Good.
But
fine.
But I do want to add that I think that Nathan Peterman is more of this quarterback discussion than a lot of people seem to want to take into account. Let's put it that way. At the end of the day, we have usually talked about McCarron versus Allen. I think it has to be considered the three of them. And I think today and this week, and knowing he's taking first-team reps, kind of underscores that a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, it's always been, I think, right to say that however the fans and we feel about him and the five picks in one half, they really like him. The coach really likes him. I don't have any question at all about that.
I agree. And I think for me, a lot of it is seeing him put everything that happened last year behind him. And I think he has the makeup to be able to do that. But we'll see. He's liked throughout this organization, I can tell you that. It's not just this coaching staff. Mm-hmm. This organization likes Nathan Peterman. But let's remember, they did draft the first-round pick, Josh
right.
Allen. If they liked Nathan Peterman that much, they wouldn't have gone and spent the assets
right.
they did
sure.
to take Josh Allen. But I just think that when we talk about who the quarterback will be week one against the Baltimore Ravens, we should not limit the options to A.J. McCarron and Josh Allen.
Sal Capaccio on the AT&T hotline with us talking about this session of Bills OTAs, and this coverage is brought to you by Chester's Cajun Grill. When you're raging for Cajun, get on into Chester's Cajun Grill in Cheektowaga. The Zay Jones news, Sal. How much of a surprise? How much of a concern? We already know what the wide receiver depth chart looks like. So, all of that on Zay Jones.
A lot of a surprise, even more of a concern. Nobody knew that Zay Jones had surgery. Sean McDermott said that today before we went out, that Zay had knee surgery. It's been something that's been lingering that they wanted to take care of right now. He did add that there's no concern at this time for him to miss the 2018 season. It sounded like, from what he said, he didn't say this, but from what it sounded like, he kind of led to believe that maybe he'll be ready for training camp, but he's going to miss, he did say he's going to miss the spring, OTAs. As far as concern, I'm concerned. Look, Zay Jones had a disappointing rookie year. There's no doubt about that. And then on top of that, he got hurt. He had the labrum surgery. We found out that through the media, through his dad. And then we find out now that he has, and then he had the bizarre incident in
right.
L.A., which was crazy. And now we find out he's got this surgery he has to have as well. So this is not a good start to this young man's career. This is already a thin position group, and I'm concerned about Zay Jones and that position.
Yeah, that seems right.
How about McDermott here on he was asked about Richie Incognito. We should cover that.
He was, and he said, I'm really not going to give details.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you asked Sal this. He did give details on like the period before he was released, leading up to his release, but
right.
not what happened.
Yeah, I guess I'm curious about that part of this story, too. And then, I don't know, Sal, the details on the Incognito altercation are scary.
Yeah, they are. He did say that, he basically mentioned, well, he retired and then he unretired. He wanted to unretire, so we moved on. That goes back to what I mm-hmm. pretty much figured at the time, which is if you don't want to be here, then we don't want you. We don't want to deal with that. He also said, I'm going to quote, I'm going to wish Richie well as he moves forward. Certainly appreciate all he did for this organization. And as he said, what he meant to us and what he meant to me, end quote. So that's kind of, a nice thing he said about Richie and hoping he does well. But as far as Incognito himself, sounds like a man who needs some help at some level here, guys. After, reading some of the things that happened at that incident at the gym and the police report, just doesn't sound like a man who's of sound mind right now.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason that may be, I would say that 32 teams in the league are reading that police report, and probably most of them, if not all of them, are saying we cannot touch this player.
Well, I hope we had NFL Live on in here, and Jeff Darlington is one person who was on the panel there and said that he feels like he knows Incognito very well.
Better than anyone on the planet,
yes,
he said.
Yes, that is how he said it. Thank you.
I will tell you that I will tell you that Jeff knows Richie very well.
Yeah. He made what I think is a very good point here. Like, he's not on a team right now and maybe needs some kind of care, like some help. And so I know why you say 32 teams wouldn't go near him right now, but boy, somebody should. Because that just does not sound like a good situation.
Well, you think someone should. Why?
Well, just to make sure he gets help. is really awful.
Maybe the NFLPA can step in and do something.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
that's fine. Sure.
He does have a group and a support group here, but, but you know, for a team to do that, they're going to have to sign him and, you know, they're not just going to reach out and say, we want to help this guy. I mean, that's nice, and that's humanistic. You know, it's a nice human nature thing to do. But, you know, I would think here in this situation, he can the NFLPA is there for support like this, and maybe they can, you know, help in this situation. And I feel
good for Richie.
You know, I do. He does need help. And I do agree with the point that Jeff's the broader point that he's making is being in a structured environment with people who love you is much better than where he is right now.
Right.
And that would help.
The broadcaster.
I think – Go ahead. I'm
sorry, Sal. I was going to say the broadcaster, Darlington, was breaking down talking about it.
Yeah, I think I think that most teams, if not all, would look at that police report, know Richie's past, and say, I'm not right. wasting, you know, money and signing this player to my roster who I, you know, these things are going on with, and he may never play for us, and then we have to deal with a lot of things that are going along with it.
Sal, how about Sean McDermott on the anthem policy? I thought it was a little weak, but I started today asking Bulldog and everyone. I'm not sure I want to judge him so carefully on this. A part of me wants to. He's in a leadership position, and I want a leader to show a strong voice. But he sounded like it was all just like too soon for him to know what to say. And my goodness. Yes, in terms of this policy specifically, but my goodness, you can't tell me you don't have a position on the protests. So I feel like it could be really hard for him or for any coach trying to get your most out of your players, trying to make sure you have their respect, but also if you have management that wants the policy. I mean, you saw the vote or whatever it actually was, the decision. So what should he do?
You know, I agree with you, Mike. I think he's in a tough spot. I think all coaches are in this regard. I think that he has to gauge the temperature of his own room before he can even do that. I think the biggest mistake that he can make is to come out and basically say, well, he can say, I know the tone, hey, you know what, I prefer everybody stand, but, and that would be nice. But I think the biggest mistake anybody can do is say, yeah, we should all stand and be patriotic, or, hey, the league should allow these guys to do that. I don't think he should be you know, one side or the other. I think he needs to gauge the best leaders to me is that he needs to gauge the people underneath him and how they feel for what tone he wants to set for his team going forward. And I don't think you can do that until you get together with the leadership council and guys like that, which he was asked about. And he said that, you know, they'll do that eventually. They just haven't. So I guess until all that stuff starts happening, you know, you're not really going to get much of a one way or the other statement from
right.
him.
Okay.
You accept it then.
That might be what he means by it's early. It's not early. The anthem, the situation around the anthem is not a new story, but this year dealing with his team, it's not something that they've gotten around to yet. Like, so it's early for them, I guess, for this group is maybe what he's talking about there.
Yeah, I think so too. He was asked his quote on that with the leadership council was, hey, you know, you've seen how we handled these situations last year, worked well and given our players the dialogue. So, you know, he said not at this point, but at some point they would do that.
Did any players talk about it, Sal?
Yeah, I mean, Lorenzo Alexander did. He was asked a little bit about it today. And, you know, Lorenzo, you know, he basically kind of he didn't. Go. I was surprised a little bit because I thought maybe, you know, because he's such an NFLPA guy that he would kind of take the same tone as the NFLPA, but he kind of didn't. He really didn't. He basically said, okay, well, if this is the policy they want, then, you know, then that's what we're going to have to abide by, and we're going to have to just kind of see what each guy wants to do. So, you know, it kind of seemed like they weren't too concerned. Micah Hyde was asked. He said, you know, he hasn't really thought about it, to be honest with you, all that much. So, you know, I think as we get closer, maybe we're making more of a deal than the players even care about it as of this time because there's no games around the corner.
Okay. Thank you, Sal.
You're welcome.
All right. Sal's appearance with us brought to you by Outlet Liquor. Need to stock up. Shop New York's only Outlet Liquor.
Bottom line on the Bills, if you're just tuning in, they're working toward Baltimore, but they're not ready yet for Baltimore.
It's kind of surprising.
By
surprising, I mean not surprising at all. Sorry.
An opening day, a week one matchup of teams that It came down to, for that final wild card spot in the AFC,
connected by Andy Dalton.
Can the Ravens like really resent the Bills? I wouldn't think so. I mean, they missed the playoffs and the Bills made it, but it's the Bengals who beat them. They never played the Bills
right.
last year, and they've, you know, like it's not even that great of a season for Baltimore to just make the wild card. So I wouldn't think they'd really like the fans, I guess, more than the players, like resent the Bills. But it's an interesting way to start the season. Bills at Baltimore for the second time in 3 years. 803-0550 is the number. We've got the continuing discussion about the anthem policy and also lots of hockey. We have done none of it yet. The Stanley Cup final is set. Vegas is favored to win the cup and has home ice. And Evander Kane got his contract. We'll talk about that too as we continue. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, 3 to 7 weekdays. Sports next on WGR.
Serious and stuff. You know, we just play in our game, stick to the system, and we deserve to win. It was hard moments in all series against Tampa, against Pitt, against Columbus, but we fight through it, and we right now 4 wins away from Stanley Cup champion. We're going to fight, and you know, I'm just emotional right now.
That is Alex Ovechkin on the ice after the Capitals. I eventually saw that interview. I rewound and I watched everything.
Why don't I feel like I know his voice? I mean, it probably had to be Ovechkin, but I don't feel like I really know his voice.
I know for sure because I heard him say all that last night. Before, the last time we played a clip of him was when he swore after they beat Pittsburgh, and I knew it was him that time too because I had seen that elsewhere before I had heard the clip. I would say his voice, it's not an easy one for me, like, but I think I'm there now. But before this playoffs, I don't think I had him nailed down.
I got to tell you, I gave myself, really I just do it to be sort of to playful and just kind of open myself up to being made fun of when I do so. I mean, there's a little bit of ego, too, but I gave myself a lot of credit and attention for getting the Astros right mm-hmm. last year, and even the Braves. Like, it's still May, and the Braves aren't great, but they're having a good start. They look like they could be a better than 74-and-a-half win team.
Yep.
So I'm excited about that. Every hockey bet I made this year went up in smoke. you want to know?
Sure.
I had not in chronological order, like from before the season. I don't think I did anything before the season. But eventually I got to Carolina to make the playoffs. And they controlled games and still missed because their goaltending was so bad. So whatever, they don't care when they grade these. Lost. I got to Dallas to win the West. And then Dallas fell off a cliff right after I did that. For fun, when New Jersey started well, and remember Pittsburgh's goaltending at the beginning of the year? Like, you know, maybe New Jersey can do what Colorado did and just win that division, even though mm-hmm. they're maybe not that good. And so I got big odds on that, went for it. Even though they made the playoffs, they lost.
Right.
In December, I bet Tampa to win the cup. Lost. Remember the last day of the regular season, Boston had a makeup game. And if it won, or even maybe got to overtime, they would have been the top seed. And that was big because that meant New Jersey in round one mm-hmm. instead of the Leafs.
Right.
I thought, like most, I think, that the Boston-Tampa runner-up in the division was really at risk in round one. Boston was down in the third period of Game 7. They won it.
Yeah.
But Boston blew the game against Florida. So that day, I'm like, this is my best chance I'm going to have to bet Boston. They're good. And so I did. Lost. And then there might have been... I bet the Sharks to beat Vegas a bunch of different ways.
Oh, good. Good. Well played.
I got smoked.
You did win one bet. You did win one hockey bet.
Did you and I have one? Oh, the Sabres point total?
The Sabres point total from like the third week of October. Oh, yeah. They were getting ready to play Columbus. I'm like, they're fine. They're going to be fine. They're going to figure it out.
What was that number?
Over 87.5.
It's 62.
It's all good. I'm not worried. And then they lost to Columbus at like 5-2. And I was like, oh, God.
I won that thing by 25 points.
You won that thing like you cruised.
Oh, my.
That was my gross. Ever good. Like, I, whenever they clinched under 87.5, I like that day I came in. We were off, I think, around the time that was happening.
You had the money. But you I always have the money.
I was ready to get here. I'm done. What a horrible, but I, you know, it was a march towards me giving you the money. I mean, it was inevitable. It was horrible.
What's that number next year?
Oh, boy.
Too soon? Like, there's still the off season. Too soon?
Yeah, I mean, they could do something really dramatic to the roster.
What's 80 sound like?
It's hard to say that that's low.
I hate 80 because it's not near the playoffs.
Right.
But it's better.
Right, it's... It's 18 points better.
18 points better. It's almost a third better.
And that's kind of a lot.
What's that number?
84.
Those numbers tend to scrunch up, right? Yeah. Because, you know, it's people betting on them.
Right.
And you might be able to do it legally by the time the season comes around.
So, Kane, you asked before we get back to, well, something else, probably the people's thoughts on the Anthem policy. What's better? I think... Not having thought about it a lot, I would rather, and I'm not sure exactly if lottery protected means San Jose keeps the pick for sure in 2019, or it means they just have the option. But I guess almost either way, I want them to keep the pick in 2019 because they miss and then blow up their team. And I get 2020's first-round pick no matter what then. And they've decided after falling short, maybe they just missed the playoffs, so they're one of the teams with 3% odds in the lottery or something, and maybe they just say, take the pick at that point. I don't know.
I don't think this is one of those where there's an option.
Okay.
I'm not positive of that.
If there is no option, then I definitely want this.
If they're in the playoffs... The pick is Buffalo's.
Right.
If they're not, the pick is theirs.
That's what I want. I want them to miss. They can just barely miss. They can miss by maybe a lot. Maybe missing by a lot is better. Whatever. And then they go wrecking ball. So that 2020, I'm sure to have a good pick. Because now they're just divesting themselves of contracts and they're going like, this didn't work.
How about this contract?
It's surprising. I mean, to say, right? What does that even say? 7 years, $7 million? I mean, free agency is just crazy. He has scored 30 goals once. Like, okay. I mean, he was good for them. He scored a lot when he got there and was going pretty well in the playoffs when they started. I don't know. Was he one of those guys that when they got bounced, there was an injury? I feel like that there was something there.
He missed. He was suspended, too, in the playoffs. Wasn't he for a game? Didn't he miss a game for something?
I don't know.
Didn't Kane get suspended for a game in the playoffs for a thing?
I don't recall that.
Okay.
But I didn't watch them closely. I just would wake up and see their scores. But
of course they're out west.
They're out west.
You had no chance.
So there was no hope of me seeing much of that. But yeah, right. I mean good luck 7 years. You know, but who you know, he did well here for a couple of years as far as not being a problem, at least outwardly. I don't know what the room would have been like. So, you know, good luck with that, San Jose.
Kane did miss a game in the Vegas series. He got suspended one game for cross-checking.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. All right. We had a couple people who have been on hold a long time, and usually, like, there's a number in my head that when you're on hold for past that number, it's probably not a good idea for us because you're just a little bit too desperate. Today, I want to make an exception because the Anthem policy stuff is a thing that people care a lot about.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take your being on hold a long, long time to mean what you have to say is really important to you. So let's go. Sean is on WGR. Hi, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, listen, Bulldog was asking, you know, why did some people get kind of irritated with the Anthem protest? I'm pretty open-minded. I don't lose any sleep over this stuff, but I've got to say that, you know, we live in a very ethnically and religiously diverse country, and sometimes I think the anthem is the only thing that kind of binds us together. And sort of like if your wife were to take off her wedding ring, it's sort of you feel betrayed or you feel kind of like look, you're ending the conversation. We can't even talk about it anymore. So I think that's part of the reason, at least when I do some self-reflection, as to what kind of gets me a little bit about it. I think the NFL is taking the wrong approach in terms of having people stay in the locker room. I think they should just not televise it. I think you can't convince a 6'3", 250-pound man, solid muscle, to do what you want him to do. He's not going to do it. So you might as well give up that idea. Just not televise it. Just don't showcase it on national television. And I think that's probably the best solution.
I think that that might not be up to them. I think they, the NFL could not have the anthem, Sean. But I don't know if the NFL could tell all its network partners to not show it. Because that looks bad on the networks. These networks have news departments. Maybe Fox doesn't. They have a news channel. Like, the, these networks don't want to be accountable like that. They'll want to... It was a news event last year, whether players kneeled. So it's a logical thought process there, Sean, but I don't think the NFL necessarily has that kind of power. Thanks for the call. Yeah. Here is, yes?
No, sorry? I mean, I liked how he presented that. Thank you. Sorry. Go ahead.
Mark is next. Hello, Mark.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hey, Mark, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it's very hard to hear you. Are you, like, right on your phone?
This better?
Yes.
Yep, go ahead, please.
Okay. Again, I've been a Bills fan for over 40 years. I have never served in the military. But for me, the flag has took on a whole different meaning on 9/11. After that event occurred, all the patriotism, all the flags flying, the flag really means something to me now. I also am not a gun person, but I joined the NRA to support those who do want to own guns. Now, my question is, is there not another forum for the players to protest, or I'm not even sure exactly what they're protesting, racial inequality, whatever, but is there not another forum other than, in my opinion, disrespecting the flag, disrespecting those who serve, disrespecting those who gave their lives so we can enjoy all the great freedoms that this country offers?
The answer is sure, but for their purposes, is there a better one? Maybe not.
Well, I I've been a Bills fan for 40 years. I have a huge NFL fan as well.
Okay, no, we got that. Thank you. If your question is there another way to do it? Again, the answer is yes, but you're trying to be effective. You're trying to turn heads. You're trying to make a point. And is any other protest necessarily going to be as or more effective? I don't know, but maybe not.
I wanna know what is so disrespectful about going down to one knee, which is often something that is a sign of respect, that can be a sign of prayer. Tim Tebow was glorified for taking a knee as a very public Christian athlete. Like, what exactly is disrespectful about taking a knee while the anthem is being played?
Well, I make a comment on that as well. I mean, I myself personally, I mean, I kneel for the Lord and I stand for the flag.
Yeah, that's what people say. It's just not done.
That's my personal opinion. I mean, I even stand in my own home.
You do?
Yes, I do.
I don't think I've ever heard of that. I'm sure people have done it. You've done it.
I have flags flying in front of my house. I live in a very liberal neighborhood here in Pittsburgh. I just think that there's a better way. Money talks. I mean, these guys make millions of dollars. you know, let them put some money into a foundation for whatever their cause is.
And that's happened, actually, Mark.
They do that. The reason, I don't think there needs to be any confusion about why they're choosing to do what they're doing in the way that they're doing it. Has been, and we'll see if it, you know, what happens this year. I mean, the league has chosen to go back to this now and bring it back up themselves. In my opinion, that's trying to beat the president to the punch because he was probably just waiting to get after them again if they hadn't announced some policy about it. But that's just my guess. The idea of finding a different way, going to City Hall on a Tuesday, all those things. Like, yes, they could be effective, and yes, they would get some attention. But even as it pertains to this, think about how much coverage, whether or not guys were kneeling last December, even got. By the time, like, October, when Denver was here, like, that was, is that?
September.
It was September, sorry. Early in the season, when the president made it a huge issue, there was a lot of attention about it, and we talked a lot about it, and we when it was listed who was kneeling and who wasn't and all this. By December, like, I don't know, I kept watching games. I was at Bills games. I can't tell you whether guys were kneeling or not, or whether I was even paying attention to whether they were or not. So consider if players had never kneeled on the field, but instead were protesting racial inequality in their communities in which they play or in their hometowns in the offseason, how much awareness there would be of it. There'd be none.
You don't remember whether you noticed, and that's with only one fantasy team.
Right. I have no reason to be distracted.
I was totally somewhere else pregame myself, so there. Thank you again, Mark. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. This is WGR.
Typical of the NFL, you know, they're just playing to their fan base, and they're just basically trying to use the anthem as fake patriotism, nationalism, scaring people. It's idiotic, but that's how the NFL has handled their business.
Steve Kerr. Boom. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog with you 3-7 weekdays. We hope to have John Clayton on tomorrow's show. It's been discussed. We have a message out to him. Waiting right. For what time is good. And I can't give you details yet. We can't. But there will be an event in August where you can meet him. And there's more to it than that, but cool. That'll be something we can look forward to. Right. It is something I'm looking forward to.
Me too.
Plus, he owes me dinner because the Matt Castle Chiefs won the AFC West and he never paid me.
Right. I wish you
That's
luck.
Still up there.
I wish, yeah.
It was 2010,
it is
maybe?
Very hard to read, but it is there. I wish you luck collecting on that.
I don't even. All I want to do is hold it over him.
Right. Does he remember? You brought
he'll
it up
say
to him.
He'll probably say he does.
He plays along because he's like that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Here's Nate next. Hi, Nate.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Two things here. The thing that upsets me about the anthem protest discussion is, first of all, it's not about the anthem as a song, as a sign of nationalism, whatever. It's a protest for things that are not related to the patriotism of the anthem. That's the one thing that upsets me. The other thing is, who says that 32 owners who are predominantly white males get to decide what a league who are predominantly not white males, I would say, get to do with their freedom? And the third thing is the whole anthem being televised and being a big deal and the flyovers didn't even really come into effect until post 9/11. So for me, this idea that we're ruining what the league has been and has stood for is just not practical in terms of an argument. And, you know, that's kind of my mm-hmm. points on the whole thing.
Thank you, Nate. As I see it, the NFL aligned with the military, aligned with patriotism, so to speak, for money. It is good for their business, I assume. People accept that and appreciate that and enjoy that or love that.
And the league has gotten paid for that.
They get paid for that. Yes. That's right. If it weren't good business, it wouldn't happen.
Right.
So they do have their rights as business owners, as the league, to go to a certain distance in restricting what their employees can do. And that's what is the issue here. Well, it's not really the issue here. That's kind of a given here, is what they have the right to do. The players bargain for their rights too, and maybe there's more to develop as far as all that goes.
Right, because there was not anything unlike the NBA. Like, it's interesting, like, it's been brought to our attention numerous times since this conversation came back to the forefront, that the NBA has a policy. Like, it's collectively bargained. It's in the CBA. Like, players have to stand. They're on the floor and they have to stand. And to my knowledge, Steve Kerr was not asked about that. But the answer, I think, would be, well, it's collectively bargained, and that's a big difference.
Well, basketball guys are being asked about that, and I think Kerr mentioned this. But it's, we have a league, I'm not trying to speak for Kerr or quote him, but I think it goes like this. Our league takes very seriously players, their activism, and supports them in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that there is this anthem policy that goes back to Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, back in the early 2000s, where he would, what would he do at first? He eventually put his hand up, or they compromised with him, and then you had this policy. I think that the NBA generally overall is saying, we don't have this problem. And Kerr points out that, you know, you just heard the clip. Like, what they do is they try to run against it. They're trying to suppress it in football, and that is not what he thinks the NBA has done.
The commissioner of the NBA today won an award. Forgive me, I don't know exactly what the award was, but the headline on the stories that I saw about him at this ceremony were silver. Don't stick to sports. Like, that's how the NBA commissioner feels. So they are embracing whatever, like you're saying, like whatever. Maybe their players don't feel they have a need to make a point while the anthem is being played, because the league is encouraging them to be active in other public ways as it is.
Try to find out what that award was. I'm searching for a punchline. I really don't have one for you, so I failed And I failed us by telling you this. Back to your calls and the update as we continue. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.